Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast, where we are previewing the battle for the old brass platoon as Indiana travels up to East Lansing to take on the Michigan State Spartans. Indiana's coming off a loss to a tough overtime 27-20 loss to Michigan. They complete the Mitten State series and go up to Michigan State to face the Spartans. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. We'll go in depth on the game, what IU needs to do in order to return the Spittoon to Bloomington after winning it last year in Bloomington in a 24-21 thrilling victory in overtime, and we'll see where we go from there. Anyway, IU is sitting at 3-3. Michigan State is 5-1, coming off a win at Minnesota in the rain, 30-27. So we'll have a full recap on both seasons. Michigan State has also knocked off Michigan at Michigan, 14-10. They beat Iowa 17-10. Lost to Notre Dame 38-18, and then beat Western Michigan and Bowling Green pretty handily early in the season. So we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Doing very well. It's you know, Saturday. You and I have talked about the Michigan game quite a bit. I know IU fans have spent a lot of time thinking about it as well. And, you know, the sting from that game is going to be with us for a while in a sports sense. That was a real disappointing loss.
It was a game IU probably should have won. You know, they give up 200 yards to Caron Higdon, who, you know, as we wrote last week, you needed to make John O'Korn beat you. And it was – Now, yep. Defense only let up 27 points. They played well at times, but they didn't play well enough. That first drive took a lot out of them. They didn't make the tackles that we're used to see them making. You know, Tigre Scales and Chris Covington whiff on O'Korn in the backfield on one play where O'Korn just, you know, lost up a prayer, and the rest is history. And then in overtime, they had that play stuffed. And nobody really set the edge there, and it goes for a touchdown. And then, you know, I wasn't all that impressed with Peyton Ramsey's play. You know, the play calling, you know, is what it is in the red zone. I thought the two running plays, we said it while we were watching it, that, you know, if he makes the right read on one of those read options, it's a walk-in touchdown. I believe there was one play where the defensive end crashed. If he keeps that, it's a walk-in touchdown, and we're talking a different story. So I think Peyton Ramsey, played decently as a redshirt freshman.
There was a play to, and I forget if it was second and goal or third and goal.
It was Jayshon Harris, too, where he held on to the ball.
He was open. It would have had to be a good throw to get it there, and I know what Ramsey was worried about. He was worried about the defender – in between him and Harris, but he waited too long to make that throw, and I think there was just some indecision, which, you know what, I understand. I mean, that was his second career start, and that I've had to remind myself of quite a bit, is Peyton Ramsey, while we've talked about him a lot, in reality, that was his second career start, and his first one was mostly an exhibition game. That was a game that Indiana was not going to lose, and it was it was just exhibition work and prep work to get ready as much as possible for Michigan. But it's important for all of us to remember that was his second start. He's going to learn. He's going to continue to get better. But it was definitely a winnable game. It was one that was right there. But they didn't, and they did not. The streak to Michigan continues. But none of that matters now, though. It's time for this Indiana football team and for the players and the coaches to put that loss behind them and move on to Michigan State, because everything that IU was hoping to accomplish realistically is still in front of them. They can still definitely win 7 games this year. They can still definitely go to a bowl game. They still should accomplish those things. Games against Maryland, Illinois, Rutgers, Purdue, Michigan State, Wisconsin. You know, I would put Wisconsin as the least likely to win, and then Michigan State after that. But Michigan State's a team that they are beatable, certainly. They're not an overwhelming favorite against Indiana. The line's 6.5 or 7, depending on where you're looking. And we'll talk about that game here in a second. But everything's still on the table for IU to have a really good season, a really strong season, after a transition to a new head coach and an entirely new offensive staff, an injury to Nick Westbrook. I'm not going to list the excuses here, but I think that there are a lot of valid reasons why winning 7 games this year and getting to a bowl game would be a nice accomplishment for Indiana, and that's still in front of them.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk about injuries. IU's without Westbrook. They've been without Hale for a while. They've been without Marcelino Ball for a while. You know, they've been without Juan Harris, who's added some depth to that defensive line. They've been without Brandon Knight for parts of several games. So, you know,
they were basically without Ian Thomas last week. I mean, he was out there.
He was banged up and all that stuff. But there is some good stuff that came out of that Michigan game. I thought outside of Devontae Williams, special teams is great. Devontae Williams, they have to change that. Tom Allen needs to – good job this year of trying to play the hot hand, and he's made some of the right moves. But one of the moves he has to make is, you know, I know Devontae Williams has a lot of speed when he gets into the open field, but, man, him fielding that ball at the 13-yard line when it was going to land about 3 feet out of bounds – was inexcusable, and it really changed the tenor of that game. It would have given Indiana was down 3-0 at the point. It would have given them the ball at the 35 with a little bit more momentum. Usually when you see kickers kick it out of bounds, the team who gets the kick usually scores. And then instead of that, IU marches downfield, has to settle for a 51-yard field goal that gets blocked because Mackenzie Nwora got blown up on the play by Maurice Hurst, who played a terrific game, and that field goal was blocked. But Griffin Oakes was terrific. He made 2 out of 3 field goals. You know, that 48-yarder there to close the fourth quarter was clutch, and that's great to see from him, because they're going to need him to make some clutch kicks if they want to get to that 6-7 win mark. Hayden Whitehead, who Alex Compton, one of our writers, did the matchup to watch between the two punters. He was fantastic. Jayshon Harris, without Jayshon Harris, that game is not even close. You know, they don't get down there and make it a 1-score game. And then, of course, the onside kick, which is as controversial as it's been, you know, that who knows? You know, I thought he was inbounds. The replay shows he was inbounds.
Yep.
I don't know what the referees were looking at, but that was a perfectly executed.
No controversy to me.
Yeah, that was a
no
perfectly.
No controversy to me. Perfect.
A perfectly executed onside kick where the third hop was huge. You had Simi Cobb streaking down the sideline. It was a terrific kick, terrific play. So I just – that's my take from the Michigan game. Now you have to move on. Go to Michigan State. It's a rivalry game for a trophy. You need to keep these trophies in-house as much as possible. It's a chance to keep the Spittoon in Bloomington for the second year in a row against a Michigan State team who, you know – treading water there. You know, they don't really have that impressive of a victory than the win at Michigan 14-10 in the pouring rain, but is beating Michigan, you know, how good is Michigan? Beat Iowa by 7. They beat Western Michigan by 14. They beat Green by 25, and they hung on for dear life against Minnesota. They had a big lead and just held on for dear life. But to me, this game is going to what this defense does against Brian Lewerke. Lewerke is Michigan State's sophomore quarterback. He's thrown the ball pretty well. 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 1,100 yards. He's 100% of his passes. He's also a threat on the ground. The second leading rusher for Michigan State with 318 yards, 3 scores as well. If they could keep him from extending plays with his legs and making plays with his legs, I really think the defense has a shot. LJ Scott's having a nice bounce back year from last year. Madre London is there. Gerald Holmes is back. You know, it's the same three-headed monster that we talked about last year. But to me, if you could ground this Michigan State running game, which has come back to life this year and a big reason why they're 5-1, Indiana has a shot here on the road.
I agree with that. I think Brian Mawarkey, he's completing about 60% of his passes. I would say he's the good word for it would be efficient. He has only had a couple of turnovers. He's got 9 touchdown passes. Felton Davis is his go-to receiver, and he looks like a pretty good target. But he's not, you know, he's not going to terrify you. Rashard Fant is not going to be scared of going up against Felton Davis. They don't really have a legitimate second weapon. They've got some decent players, but nobody that really scares you outside of Felton Davis. And he's, he's had a couple of really good games, in particular against Iowa. He had 2 touchdowns there in the first half that ended up being a tight end weapon that you kind of have grown accustomed to them having. They don't have that, which I think has hindered their offense a little bit. But you know, LJ Scott's a really good running back. Their offensive line looks improved over last year. They're not making near as many mistakes as they did a season ago, not near as many turnovers, which that's something that the Indiana defense has got to find a way to start creating more of is takeaways. It feels like this team is you know, so close in these types of games, and having 1 or 2 turnovers created to give your offense a short field would make all the difference in the world. And Michigan State does not appear the team to get that going against, because they've done a very nice job of taking care of the ball. Their running game, LJ Scott's the guy you got to watch for. He's averaging 4.6 yards a carry. Madre London is pretty good, but I think LJ Scott's definitely the most talented that they have. And then Gerald Holmes, he's a senior that really I don't think has lived up to what they had hoped he would be, which is a big bruising back. He's just not that good. I mean, his numbers, he's barely above 3 yards a carry. He's not really the short yardage bruising tailback that I think that just by looking at him you'd expect him to be. I don't think he'll get a lot of work on Saturday. I think it'll be primarily LJ Scott, the Madre London as the change of pace back. But you're gonna see a very similar offense to what Michigan ran in terms of the run pass distribution. But I think you'll probably see much more Brian Mawarkey trying to make plays with his legs as opposed to John O'Korn. So that, like you said, that's the key that you got to watch for. If you've got a chance to get him down in the backfield, you've got to do it. You can't have the missed tackles where he escapes out of the pocket and breaks a run instead of a 5 or 10 yard loss. It cannot happen on a consistent basis. When you've got a shot to get him down in the backfield, you've got to do it. Tackling's got to be better than it was on Saturday against Michigan. I think that it will be. I really expect a good performance on Saturday from IU's defense. I'm not worried about Indiana's players bouncing back. They've shown us time and time again that, the losses definitely hurt, but they're a resilient bunch, and they bounce back very quickly. So I'm not expecting any kind of hangover effect. I could be wrong, but I'm not expecting that. And I think the defense will have a really good week on Saturday after I'm guessing that Tom Allen's going to point out all the missed opportunities the defense had for takeaways, for missed tackles that they could have had guys down in the backfield. Those things are going to get pointed out, and I think they're going to work on correcting them on Saturday, but I do think they'll do a pretty good job against the Spartans, particularly if you can limit Michigan State getting big plays, because they will throw deep. They try to ground you down on the ground and then, you know, use play action, throw it deep. If you can not allow any of those big plays and make that running game the only dimension that they have, I think Indiana's defense is good enough to stop a one-dimensional attack like Michigan State's and hold them somewhere, you know, at 20 or around that mark. But if you can do that, you feel like you've got yourself a chance.
Exactly right. Defense hasn't created takeaways like they did last year, which is a big reason on the turnaround defensively from 15 to 16. They need to start doing that. It just gets your offense, who struggles to get points and put drives together, the ball in better position. It takes points off the board for opponents. There were a couple Michigan drives where, you know, if you got a takeaway, you could put up points. You take away a field goal from Michigan here, and the score's, you know, the score's different. The outcome's different. To me, that's the key to this game. I want to see this defense get some takeaways, whether that's creating fumbles, which they haven't done a lot of this year, or getting interceptions. Yeah, IU had an interception last week that was called back for a pass interference call. Apparently we can't touch Michigan receivers, but they could tackle ours in the back of the end zone. But, you know, that's a question that I'm saving for media day next year. So just a quick PSA, if you are an IU fan and you remember a bad call ever going against IU against these big boys, please email me at thehoosierhuddle@gmail.com. I want to compile a list of all of these to ask Commissioner Delaney and to ask Bill Carollo, who's the head of officiating in the Big Ten, you know, basically what the heck. So, you know, it's gotten to the point where I think somebody needs to say something. And I'll be the one to do it. So anyway, creating takeaways is going to be huge, you know, getting more than one of them, and then not turning the ball over on offense. You had two interceptions. Yeah, one was on the last play of the game. But, you know, Peyton Ramsey throwing the deep ball doesn't look as efficient as possible. His deep balls have been either knocked down, picked off by defenders, things like that. They have to target Simi Cobbs and use these receivers. You know, Luke Timmons has looked really good in the slot, but they need to use these outside receivers. And, you know, they're not one-dimensional, but they've become such a short yardage team that it is almost one-dimensional. And teams come stack the box and just make it that much harder to produce yards, to produce points. So I'd love to see Peyton Ramsey throw it deep a little bit more, use Simi Cobbs, who's a beast. I mean, he just outworks everybody. He's 6'4". He's a big bodied receiver who could get open. He's got to catch the ball. One, two, they got to throw him the ball a little bit more, and hopefully Ian Thomas is healthy too. And they could get this, you know, intermediate to long range passing game going and really make this defense or this offense hard to defend.
Yep, I totally agree with that. You've got to take deep shots, even if they're not successful, to open up some lanes for your running game, open up that box, because right now teams are putting eight in there, and they probably feel like they could put more than that because they don't worry about getting beat over the top. Safeties can creep down and stay in the box and shut down IU's pass or running attack. You know, in Michigan State, they're going to be incredibly tough to run on. I mean, they really locked down Minnesota's very good running game and helped them basically to under 3 yards to carry last week. Minnesota came back when they kind of open up the attack. Emory Croft came in. They're more mobile of their two quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're giving up 2 points. They're giving up under 3 yards per carry, which is outstanding.
Yeah.
Only 5 touchdowns on the ground this year, 560-some-odd yards on 191 carries. That's, you know, it's going to be a tough bunch to run on. So,
yeah. But I really think Indiana needs to try and establish Morgan Ellison.
He was
underutilized against Michigan. I felt he was really underutilized.
He was at 4.9 yards per carry. You know, he had that big 33-yard run. 5 coming out of halftime to start the third quarter. They used him a lot, and they were really successful. And then you could do the play-action pass off of there. And if you're going to run the read option, you're to make those reads. You can't have a quarterback back there, you know, that crashes handing it off. The you know, lesson number one on running the read option is if your defense end crashes to the inside, you around him. And it was clear as day crashed, and they couldn't do it. So hopefully that, you know, they got that figured. Ramsey's a smart kid, coach's kid, works hard, redshirt freshman. Let's correct those mistakes, go out there and you know, they do. They need to get Morgan Ellison going. I think shying away from him and saving a stretch run is kind of silly. You need one of the next two games, if not both, to really elevate your season. You know, if you lose the next two, you're sitting at 3-5 going into the last stretch of the season.
Wisconsin.
It's going into Wisconsin. You're at 3-6 going into the final three. Do I think IU could beat all three of those teams? Yes. But winning 3 games in a row, 2 on the road, is tough to do, especially for a Purdue team who's improved and is going to be gunning for you with everything they got. So taking one of the next two against Michigan State or Maryland really gives you some flexibility in your schedule and a little wiggle room in case something goes wrong. So I think coming out, getting some takeaways and turnovers, limiting your turnovers, establishing Ellison on the run, and just playing the same special teams game and maybe trying a new kick returner on Saturday as well, it's going to go a long way for IU. And, you know, as you wrote in your article this week, TJ, breakthrough seems like it's a long way away, but this program has come a long way since Kevin Wilson took over in 2011. And basically, if you go back to, you know, 15 years in 2002, just think of where this program was when Jerry DiNardo took over. Think of it where it's now, coming off of games. It's come a long way as well. So I think this team has to be persistent. Just keep your head down, keep going to work, keep working hard, and breakthrough is going to happen. Tom Allen has said it's a mentality. It's a mentality every week. It's not just a singular event. So I think the mentality of coming out, thinking you're going to win every week, being kind of ticked off that you lost, but erasing it from your memory and getting to the next week is huge. And I think that's where this program is at. And, you know, you kind of plateaued a little bit, but you're plateauing as a decent team, not a bad team. And, you know, especially in a year where you're changing coaches, it's never happened in IU's history where they've got rid of a coach coming off a bowl game and have a real strong team coming back and a chance to go to a third straight bowl game. So it's kind of uncharted waters here for Indiana football, but that's it. You know, fans have to be patient. It's okay to be pissed off that they lost. But you just take a deep breath. There's plenty of season left. There's 6 games left. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I completely understand the frustration. Trust me, you know, you and I have been at this for a very, very long time. And I stay at this as in ball fandom. You know, at times you feel, at least I do, and I know others join in this, you feel just just defeated. I mean, you feel as if every Saturday, you know, the officials are a 50-50 call is going against you and in a big spot. And every time you play one of these big opponents,
are going against IU.
Yeah. And you almost have, you know, you feel in really good position against one of these big opponents, and you just know that something is going to happen, and then IU comes up just short. And I feel for the players, because we get a glimpse into the program that we know how hard these guys work, how much they care, and how much it matters to them. And I want it for myself. Don't get me wrong. I want it for myself and for the site, but I want it for this group of players and this coaching staff. I want that big win to happen. And I want that big season to happen so bad, because I know how hard they work and how much they care. And it's just so frustrating when you have multiple occasions where you get close but not quite over the hump. But I just feel like, for me anyway, I'm able to kind of, yeah, those losses stick, and they're ones that I still go back to the Michigan game a few years back in Bloomington, and Indiana had no business beating that Michigan team. It wasn't even a great Michigan team. It was a bad IU team. And, IU had them, and then an interception with a bogus pass interference. And then IU falls apart and loses. I still remember games like that. And this recent Michigan game is going to be another one that goes in that growing catalog of painful losses. But when it all clicks, and it will, at some point it will all click, things will come together. It's just going to make it that much sweeter when it does happen. And I know that's corny. I know it's cheesy, and I don't care. I really do believe that. And I firmly believe that Tom Allen and his, I don't know if it'll be the current construction of staff, who knows, but I believe Tom Allen's the right guy to make that finally click for Indiana. Now, what does that mean for an overall season? I don't really know. I don't know what a truly special season is. I don't know what that looks like for Indiana, but once it happens, I will know it. I'll know that it's going on, and we'll be able to feel it. We'll be able to tangibly see it, and we'll know. And I'm looking forward to that. For now, I think that I still feel pretty strongly that this Indiana team's going to get to a third straight bowl game, which is quite an accomplishment. And we'll get to predictions here. I don't think Indiana beats Michigan State this Saturday. I do think they play, a similar game to Michigan. I think it's an ugly game. I think it's one that has you concerned about the offense, because Michigan State's defense is really good. Joe Bocci looks like another, star in the making at linebacker for the Spartans. They've got a number of just very solid defenders. They play really sound football. They tackle well. They don't make any coverage mistakes. It's a really sound defensive football team. I think they hold Indiana's offense down. I'm going to say to 20 points. The Spartans get 24. Indiana comes up just short again, and we'll all be feeling the frustration, and the frustration will be riding pretty high as Indiana goes to College Park. Spoiler, I think the season turns around. Not that it has been a disaster by any means at all, but I think that Indiana takes out some frustration on the Terrapins in 2 weeks, and we'll get to that game obviously when it's time. But for this week, I'll go Michigan State 24, Indiana 20. I know that, the result against Michigan was tough for everybody to handle. We do appreciate everybody that's following the site and continues to stay with us and hang with us. Trust me, guys, it's all going to be worth it when it comes around and finally clicks.
Yeah, I think, this is a game. Hoosier Hysteria is on Saturday. It's a game where if you lose here, kind of the spotlight goes off of you, and you kind of not slink back to the dark, but you could fly under the radar a little bit. It takes a little bit of the pressure off. As much as I would love the fans to stick with this team through, you know, through the early basketball seasons, but you have a new basketball coach. Excitement's going to be high, especially for Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. Sure. And, you know, maybe that's what they need, is to take the pressure off a little bit on some of these games, especially with some winnable games coming up. But, you know, Michigan State's a tough opponent. We haven't won up there in a while, I think since 2001. And, you know, I'm going to go Michigan State 27, Indiana 21. It's just it's a tough opponent. It's another ranked opponent. It's one of the – quote perks of playing in the Big Ten East. Indiana's schedule so far this year, they've played a ranked Ohio State team. Virginia is almost there for, you know, in the top 25. Penn State is now the number two team in the country. Michigan's ranked 19th. Michigan State's 18th. And then you play Wisconsin, who's number. I think that I saw something that they play 14 of the last 29 games they've played ranked opponents or something. And
that's correct.
This is, you know, we'll get to it in the off season again. This is why scheduling is so important, is that, you know, Indiana's schedule is so brutal in the Big Ten East that, you know, you hear fans complain about these cupcakes. You got to play them. You need three wins. And then you can take care of business in the Big Ten East. With three wins, and hopefully you get a good draw of the crossover. But, you know, another tough game in the Big Ten East. I'm going to go Michigan State 27, Indiana 21. And then you're right, that Michigan game – or Maryland game. There's too many M schools in the Big Ten too. The Maryland game is, you know, that second pivot point. I thought Virginia was pivot point number one. They got through that. Maryland is going to be pivot point number two. A win there gets you back to 4-4. So we'll preview that game next week. Stick with us through this week. TJ, as always, thanks for joining us. I got to get back to watch the end of this Yankee game. And, you know, enjoy the weekend. The game, I believe, is on ABC at 3:30. You know, hopefully they'll have the game on in Assembly Hall. And if you're not at Assembly Hall, get it on your TVs. If not, follow us along on Twitter and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yep. Have fun, everybody. Thank you.
All right. That does it for our Old Brass Spittoon preview show. Come visit us at HoosierHuddle.com whenever you feel like. Hopefully it's more often than not. We're on Twitter as well as @Hoosier_Huddle. Anyway, that does it for tonight's show. We'll be up live in East Lansing with our preview show, and we'll see you there.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.